Today, our guest is Bill Scare, Boone City Administrator, an opportunity to visit with him. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Good morning.
And last time you were here, you had Waylon with you. You were getting ready for citywide cleanup.
Yes.
And now that we're at the end of June, it's done.
It is done, and we've got all the information in of how successful it was. I'll just give a shout-out to the Public Works crew. That's a tough 2 weeks.
It is. It's
for them.
It's all hands on deck.
You know, they're putting everything else on standby, and the weather, it was hot and everything. I mean, that's a tough week. So the city appreciates all their hard work on there and getting it done within the 2 weeks. And I think they finished a little early. But it looks like we had a total of 148, just over 148 tons of waste that we took to the landfill for a total of about just over $3,600. And some 65 tons of that was free.
It was free, yeah.
Excuse me, that the supervisors in the county weighed for us. So I think from Waylon that was larger than last year. It seems like every year
it
increases.
It gets up there, might back off a ton or two, but it's always been right in there. And which is the question we constantly come up with is, where does this stuff keep coming from?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's 148, just under 149 tons of waste that's out of our city.
Sure. And people that, if you think it's all free, it's free to get it hauled out there, but the city is paying, which you are a taxpayer in the city.
Right, so, right.
One way or another, there is a cost in.
There is a cost. Always is a cost. And we appreciate the county
again,
helping us.
Public Works to be able to, they've got their plan down, and I know some people are complaining, they didn't take this, they didn't take that. Well, there are certain things they don't take.
Exactly.
And if it's your regular garbage, they're not going to take it.
And there's no need for them to take that because your garbage hauler will take that. So, and we only go through once if it's not out, or if things are mixed together, where there's some stuff there we might take, but there's others that we definitely don't. We don't have time to pick through that and pick what we can and can't take. It's just not efficient. We'd never get, the project done within 2 weeks.
So got through all that. That was good. Another successful one. And again, it's a commitment for over 2 weeks. And yet at the same time, I think they were out there still spraying for mosquitoes in the evenings on Tuesdays and Thursdays and doing the other things that they have to do.
With all the things we have going on with construction and underground utilities and things like that, we also have the locates that we have to do. And once those are called in, I think we have 48 hours to complete those. So we can't, just put them on hold for 2 weeks. So there's items like that we still have to do during that 2 week period.
So, that part's done. Until next time, we'll do that. A couple of other things that came up. We've got a couple of press releases from the city. One, we visited with the mayor about it after the last meeting about some of the complaints about the railroad crossings. And actually, you got somebody just by the trip to Washington, D.C. and making contact with Senator Ernst's office when the issue came up. All of a sudden, you get somebody from the Federal Railroad Authority coming into town to say, show me the problem.
We did, and that's good. That's good for our citizens so that they can look at that as well. Obviously, there's been some frustration here. I can tell you firsthand that the mayor has been really frustrated, and he gets calls from citizens that are also frustrated. And a couple of things, of course, the blocked crossings for any length of time, if it's 20 minutes, 30 or whatever, sometimes, those are issues. Sometimes, to be fair, they can't be helped. If they have a breakdown or something like that, train won't move if it's broke, but that's not all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's been some frustration, and we continue to work with them. Excuse me. I work with my contact with UP, and, she is very efficient, and she understands the frustration. She does what she can, but understand that UP is a bureaucracy, and she doesn't make the decisions. She just passes them on and tries to do the best she can. But it was good that Councilman Moorman sent a letter to Senator Ernst's office, I believe, and as a result of that, she acted her office very quickly, and the city certainly appreciates that. And we got this gentleman that came and took a look, and we'll see what happens. We have since during this time too. Now we've the Courts Avenue has been, and all those crossings have been closed, soft closed. For now, I think they're going to do permanent, but those crossings are now closed. So they have a lot of room, you know, east, just east of the Story Street crossing, all the way out to the Jordan Elevator area out there. But again, they have logistics and how they run their operation, and sometimes that area isn't the right place or whatever, where they change, you know, if they're adding or taking away from cars and things like that. But we continue to work with them. We continue to have conversations with them to try to, you know, for it to go as smoothly as possible. Mm-hmm. There's no perfect solution on this, Jim. I don't think there ever will be. But we continue to work with them. And, you know, one other thing that the mayor was frustrated about as well was the signs that are
up there.
The
phone number.
Yeah. And so I actually went up myself and looked at that, and he's exactly right. I tried to see the signs, and I couldn't. And there's one sign on the emergency one. I mean, it's right on the apparatus of the closing gates, right? Mm-hmm. And short of stopping on the tracks to write down the number, I mean, you just can't do it. So, and, you know, UP is following their regulations through, I'm sure, federal DOT or state DOT on what's required to be there. I think from the city standpoint, we'd like to maybe enhance it a little bit so that we can assist our citizens. And the gentleman from D.C. that came in, you know, made the point, I think, to Councilman Mormon was, it's not the city's complaining that they're going to really take, it's the citizens. So we need the citizens, if they're frustrated or have a complaint, they need to call that number, and because that ultimately helps get things done.
Bottom line is that we'll do what we can to make the number bigger, but I know in the press release that was available to had that there, and also, again, website that the Federal Railroad Authority uses.
Right, so. And that is, I got it right here, it's www.fra.gov.dot/blocked crossings. Right. And I'm sure you have it on your website
and
everything.
So got it out there too, have that posted.
Yep.
The other one that came out right after that was it had some misinformation that's been going on about the I&I program, or as I call it, sump pump inspection.
Yes.
Fifth year, and all of a sudden we're getting different things
that
are coming
up.
Yeah,
so, you know, when this happened, we kind of, staff kind of took a step back and looked at it and make sure that the correct information is put out there. And so we talked with the consultant, and I had him do a review. And as far as the stats and everything, and nothing really was different other than there may be, you know, we're in phase five now, there may be in a couple more homes that needed to add sump pumps or and
they had one of the, probably running traps or something like that.
And one of the questions was, well, they had to dig a pit. They didn't have a pit. They actually had to put a pit in. From what we got from WHKS, this happened maybe once or twice during this entire program in the last 5 years. So that's not a normal. So we're going to make sure that the correct information is out there. And as we said in that press release, you know, we have a grant program to help parties that need to put in if they choose. Now, I know they were saying that we can't force them to put in, and we can't. But the alternate of that is if that's the solution and you don't, then you don't pass your inspection, and then you get assessed the penalty after a while. So we hope that, you know, citizens choose to, you know, put that in, the sump pump in, and we have the grant. The city will reimburse up to $250, and I've talked with staff on that and told them that if we spend every dollar in that line item and you need more, you come see me. We will give those grants out to help the people that need it, so that want to put those in. So, you know, the requirements are, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the requirements are that it's got to come from a licensed plumber that's approved by the city. And then when the project is done and you submit your receipts, then we'll write you a check for $250 to help with the cost of that sump pump.
And I'm guessing the building department, which, by the way, will be in and out this week, but they do have a list of plumbers that are have made are part of the program.
Right.
So, okay.
Dave and his staff We'll answer any questions. They have the applications, mm-hmm. and they can walk you through it and make sure you understand it. And I encourage people to do it. Mm-hmm. Again, if we get back to the goal of this program, 5 years ago when we started this, was we need to remove the storm water and the clear water out of our sanitary because we're treating it when we don't need to. And, you know, we're still technically under the DNR mandate because we haven't finished the UV project yet. Once that's finished, then I think, you know, that's going to go away. But part of that mandate or the plan, I'll call it a plan rather than a mandate, was on that plan was a $3 million equalization basin. Well, now we've gone away from that where that's not going to be required. So it's been a successful program. I apologize if there's been any confusion on the sump pumps and things like that. But always the best thing to do is if you have a question, rather than getting it on social media,
call.
Yeah. My email, my phone number's on the website, the same for the billing office. It's a simple phone call to get the correct information.
And we have seen improvement in water flows or flows going down because WHKS, I think they run the monitors for the city and keep track of that when we get into our rain events. So
yes, so it's a very important program. We're going to continue it. I'm sure. I mean, council decides every year if we're going to continue it because we bring them. Here's the next phase. Here's the contract mm-hmm. from the WHKS. Do you want to proceed?
Yep.
And I had a conversation with them. About a year ago, I said, do we want to take a break? You know, we've been doing it three or 4 years. Do we want to take a year break on this and regroup? And it was a resounding no. That's how important this project mm-hmm. is. No, we're not going to take a break. Continue forward. Mm-hmm. And that's what staff's doing.
All right. Well, that's going on. We've got a lot of other things that are happening, too. A lot of construction, potential housing projects. I know one that some extra work's going to be done, but it all has to do with the paving of West Park in South Marion and getting ready to go if they're not already out there.
Yeah, they're not yet. We're expecting them here in the next few weeks to get started. That is a project, as we've talked about before, we've worked on for several years trying to get it done, and it's been in the planning stages since last year. And it's a good project because kind of what coincides with that, once that's done, we're working with Cating Properties mm-hmm. to do a housing development out there on the 15 acres that the city currently owns, 128 units, which is huge. If you take that 128 and then you add the 70 that's at 22nd and Lynn, I mean, we've increased our housing units substantially, and that's a priority for the city. Is we know that we need more housing, and so we're working on it all the time, trying to come up with work with different developers mm-hmm. to try to get, you know, other areas of the city developed as well for housing. And kind of what falls in line with that is the housing assessment that council approved a few months back that I'm hoping to get the final report here in a week or two so we can share that with the elected officials, and we'll see what that shows us.
Yeah, Mid-Iowa Planning, again, which is one of those groups that we have access to.
Yes.
And they bring that expertise, and they can do that.
Exactly.
Reasonable cost. And to participate, because you also had Boone Economic Growth was participating in
exactly.
that too. So,
yeah, so. And speaking of MIPA, they also did for us as part of the fee that we pay every year. They have planners on staff. We don't have a planner here at the city, and they reviewed our ordinance, our zoning ordinance, and gave recommendations. Staff is still working on that. We have a meeting coming up here in the near future to mm-hmm. hopefully get ready to present to the P&A committee on how they, if they want to make any changes according to what MIPA recommended. Mm-hmm. Also, before Ed left, I asked for his recommendations. He was here for years and years doing that job. So we got his thoughts on it. I'll get Dave Ades' thoughts on it, and then we'll develop a plan and move forward to P&A mm-hmm. and see how they want to proceed.
Okay. So that's, again, work in progress. That was one of the city goals.
Yes.
Updating ordinances
yes.
and stuff.
Zoning is the first part of it. The other is the whole ordinances, and it was a goal that spanned over multiple years. We're just now completing our first year of that, and we're working on plans to start on the book of ordinances itself this next fiscal year.
All right. Busy. busy.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
Things happening. Construction-wise, we do see a lot of that happening. And one of those things, and it happened at the last council meeting, you did sell off one of the properties that ended up being demolished. The city had acquired it, did a working burn, I guess it was, for the fire department. And now they are, the property's been sold, or All Iowa Homes stepping up, and they'd like to build a home over it.
Yeah, exactly. And we're in the process of closing that now. So a little history on that was, it was a home that we had, identified that probably needed demolished. The current owners were very good to work with, and so they worked with us, and we ended up getting the home. And then taking responsibility for all the costs and everything. When we ever get a home like that, I have a conversation with the fire chief. Hey, is this something that would be a valuable training tool, you know, to burn? And it worked out well. There wasn't a lot of houses close to it. It was on a big lot, so it worked out well. And so they burned it. And then we obviously put a contract out to demolisher to clean it up. And then once we get through all that, then our intent is to sell it to a contractor, developer, what have you, and our goal is for a new home on there, and that's what will be done up there, is a new home will be built.
So that's one that happened. Speaking of the demolition, a rare occurrence, but you are working with another property owner to demolish a commercial property, and again, there's some things that are tied in with it. I know some of the cost is covered by the city up to a certain point, and you'll be looking for some development there.
Right. And so we signed an agreement with the owner, and what we're going to do is take that down in the near future. We're working on the asbestos and the abatement right now. And actually, this is one I think that we're probably going to burn as well. I met out there with the fire chief, and it was a good opportunity for him to have some another burn. You know, he brings on volunteer firefighters and new part-timers that in the part-time and the POC – because of the situation, I mean, there's turnover.
Yep.
So he's got new people coming on, and it's a good opportunity to train, and it fits his definition of if it's valuable to spend the money to burn it, you know, training because of cost of overtime and and personnel. And so we're going to try to do that in the middle of September, I think. The owner was very cooperative, said, yeah, sounds good, absolutely. He can wait a little while for us to, you know, Justin couldn't get it probably done until middle because of, you know, summer vacations and everything. So, yeah, so we're going to have fire department board and that have another training facility, and then we'll put a contract out for the demolisher to clean up the mess and go from there.
Yeah, and within looking for some sort of development going on within about 30 months after.
Yeah, the agreement we signed with the owner, he has agreed, or he had planned anyway to do something, so that it's going to be replaced with another commercial property. What that is exactly, I can't say today, but the good news is there'll be a commercial business on that site.
I have a lot of, what are some of the other things that have been going on for you? Those are just a few.
Yeah.
A lot of downtown things. We got a chance to see about trees, if there should be trees or not trees, and...
Yeah, that committee associated with Main Street came in and gave a nice presentation to the council, and they kind of got some guidance from council on what they wanted to see. So I think they're going to move forward now. They've talked to an arborist, I believe, and who's going to assist them as well. And they talked about they're going to need about $25,000, I think, and so they're going to start fundraising for it, and hopefully they can raise that, and then we'll they'll move forward. In addition, as you know, I think on Monday, July 3rd, will be the third reading of the parking changes downtown. As far as changing the ordinance for, you know, where Boone County Transportation or Herta used to park, where they're no longer needed. Excuse me. As well, council wanted to evaluate and look at our parking downtown to see if there's some changes we can make to make it more efficient. And I think we're talking about whether it's parallel parking or diagonal parking. So I met with the engineer, and we walked downtown and looked at it. And I'll be giving council some updates on that Monday night under my report. And we'll see if they want to move forward and go from there.
So just a work in progress.
Yeah.
Just constantly keep going ahead. So council is going to meet on the 3rd.
Yes.
And... Well, then we've got the 4th of July the next day.
Right.
Fire department, I know they were getting ready to move ahead with their contract for expanding the station, the fire station.
Yes.
We need another bay area that'll hold a bigger fire truck.
Yep, contracts have been signed, and Graybaugh Construction is running that project. And I believe Justin said that they're going to be on site tomorrow, I think, at least preliminary, to at least start the project.
Okay.
I think we're looking fall to late fall before it's completed, I believe. We've been working on this a long time, as you know.
There's a lot of concrete work in there, I'll tell you.
You sat through the council meeting, so you know the process for this whole thing of trying to get this done. Costs, obviously, like everything else, were higher than we expected, and you know we've found the funding to complete it.
Using your COVID and using up that money that was given to the city for those things, and grant to get a truck, fire truck. So.
Right. The grant to get the truck, and as you said, we use some COVID money as well as ARPA money.
All right.
To get that done.
Busy meeting, a busy time for the city. So construction
going on. Yes.
A lot happening. Appreciate you taking time to come in and visit with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.